I can't even lie, fuck better when I'm drinking. Ride dick like a pro, throw the pussy like I'm famous. Pussy feel so good, feel like the rubber on fainted. You ain't gotta tell me, I know this pussy be yanking. This pussy be yanking, I know this pussy be yanking. This pussy be yanking, I know this pussy be yanking. This pussy be yanking, I know this pussy be.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Black Girl Squee, where we celebrate Black Girl Magic with a squee. I am one of your hosts. I am Enda Lauren, also known as Enda's Corner.
I am Didi, also known as Dust Daughter.
Okay, a few things. You can find us together at Black Girl Squee on Twitter. Individually, I am Enda's Corner, and Didi is at Dust Daughter. Our Tumblr is blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. Our email is blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. You can contact us, and we'd really appreciate hearing some feedback from you. And speaking of feedback, you can also find us on iTunes and leave us a review and say a few words about the show if you'd like. And you can also find us on our new host home of Simplecast, blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. A few housekeeping notes. We have a spoiler policy, which is we spoil shit. That is usually how to get away with murder, but we'll see how that goes when it comes back. Sometimes it is underground on WGN, and it can be lots of other shows, especially ones that feature black women in lead roles. Yeah. Also, as a warning, because I think we do get an explicit notice, we cuss a lot. And we talk about peen. And yeah. And as Dee Dee has to note, we squee loudly. And apparently I squee louder than she does.
It's true.
Yes, and we do this throughout the show. So you may want to adjust your volume accordingly. All right. So we want to get into our squee-worthy news.
Let's hit it.
Okay.
First couple of pieces involve our illustrious co-host, Miss Enda Lauren. She has published a new piece on the Learned Fangirl called Older Black Women in Romantic Relationships on Television. And now's the part where I get to interview her. Miss Lauren, what inspired you to write this piece?
I actually started on this piece after Luke Cage. Yeah, after that whole thing, it was probably right at the time Mariah kisses Shades that it just kind of hit me. We were seeing quite a few instances of black women, of older black women, being either romantically or sexually involved with mostly men. On these television shows. And so I'd written a piece about Cassie Calloway and Chin from the show Survivor's Remorse, which I love, and just kind of started putting it together then with who else was I seeing, you know, as an older black woman, who mostly are actually dark-skinned black women too, if you look at who these women are.
Annalise Keating.
Yes, Annalise Keating. We had Jessica Pearson on Suits, who's played by Gina Torres. Ugh. And when I actually turned the piece in at first, I didn't have Cookie. But I think the editors there at the Learned Fangirl just love Cookie. One of the notes on was like, where's Cookie? And so, yeah, I had to go back and include Cookie in this because she is actually a very essential to these portrayals of Black women in these relationships. So it's not just that they are in these relationships. They bring all of these multifaceted views of Black women in television shows. Some are mothers, some aren't. And just the way that they operate within, you know, the dynamics of these shows are also very fascinating. So it's kind of good to see that you do get to have this romantic aspect of their lives as well.
So you got with older Black women, you get to tell sort of different stories?
I think
as far as romantic relationships, or
I think so, because when we used to get these older Black women, they were already married, and so we didn't get to see things like courtship or the pursuit, you know, them being pursued and chased. And so that's the one thing that I really kind of loved, especially with Cassie and with Mariah. You see these dudes chasing them, and you see them, you know, being wanted and desirable. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of, you know, part of the appeal to me. 'Cause, yeah.
And in the case of Mariah, you know, Shades was, you know, doing dirt to protect her and defend her and,
yes,
you know, give her alibis for the dirt that she does. So, you know,
yeah,
it's interesting. You know, he was caping for, you know, a villain, but, you know,
yeah,
nonetheless caping. And that's something you don't see on TV.
No.
A white dude caping for a black woman.
Yeah.
What bizarre land is this?
I know. I'm like, that just kind of, like, but it's like when it finally happened, you kind of start thinking, I'm like, oh, when they're interacting, he stands a little too close to her. He puts his hands on her and he looks her dead in the eye, and he doesn't let anybody look him in the eyes because they're always covered. And when he's telling her what his family meant to him, it's like somebody was saying, he's being a bit too specific. And so it's like his thing for her could have gone back way back, you know, when he was, you know, they were, you know, children. And now he's finally gotten his chance. And so it's just this whole real, you know, interesting thing happening between these two. And so you're going to see, you know, the queen of the underworld and, you know, her. Yeah, because he ain't trying to be her equal.
So definitely check out that article on the Learned Fangirl, and we'll hopefully have the link in the show notes. And in other in the news, her zine, Soaked in Cinnamon. What's the subtitle?
A City Witch Finds Healing.
Yes, Soaked in Cinnamon, A City Witch Finds Healing. Physical copies of the zine are now available on Queer Indigenous Girls website. So how did this come about?
It actually just happened last night. If you don't know who Queer Indigenous Girl is, her name is Samana Thompson. And I really hope I say the name of her people right. She's an Indigenous woman. I think the pronunciation is Otham. I'm not sure. But if you look at her site, she gives her description. Samana, if I mispronounce this, I am so sorry, but I've never said these words out loud before. But Akamel Otham Hopi Dene, she's a queer, disabled, neurodivergent film artist, zinester, mental health activist, and I think it's Jay to her sons. And I've been going kind of back and forth with her for a while, you know, we're both into zines, and she was one of the first people to pick up Soaked in Cinnamon, and she really got attached to it, and I'm glad, you know, she fell in love with it and loves it so much, and she wants to share it. And so she asked me last night, was I planning on doing physical copies of it? And, you know, I did want to, but the thing is, I have no money for printing, and my printer is actually also broken, so there was no way for me to do it. And so she suggested last night to put a few physical copies on her site, and also still make it available for PDF. And if, you know, I wanted to do that, then she'd go ahead and do it. And so went ahead and gave her the go ahead, because I really do love the work she does, and just kind of even being attached to anything she does is an honor for me. So,
big things popping and little shit stopping for Indaloran. Okay. So definitely check out Soaked in Cinnamon, A City Witch Finds Healing on Queer Indigenous Girls website. And her latest piece on the Learned Fangirl. So for Indaloran, I have to give a big squeeze.
And for Samana, I have to give you a scream. Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much.
If you wanna be on the show, hit us up.
Yeah.
BlackGirlSquee@gmail.com.
Yeah. Oh, and also, when you're on her site, check out her zines and also the ones that her little boys do. Her sons have some. I have a couple of them. Because I bought those, and they're really good. I mean, they are really, really good. I mean, it's like, it's a child's artwork, but this boy, he knows how to tell a story. I'm like, you're like 9. How do you know storytelling so well, Aldis? And I mean,
he get it from his mama.
Apparently. Yeah.
So,
okay. All right. So our next item in Squeeworthy News, OK Africa reports that the Nigerian women's bobsled team is making history. And I swear, you just look at the picture of these women, they already look like superheroes. I mean, mm-hmm. Wow. OK, so apparently now Nigeria has a bobsledding team, and they say that come 2018 in South Korea, a sport that's never had the continent represented in the Winter Olympic Games may see some history-making changes. Let's also not forget about their most recent co-sign, who joined along with the overwhelming support on social media, John Boyega.
Yes.
Yeah, John was caping for them hard. So.
Yes. He's trying John. To see them when next time he go up to Nigeria.
Yep. Okay, so the team consists of, if I mispronounce your names, ladies, I'm so sorry. I mean, you deserve better than me mispronouncing your names. But you have the driver, who is Siun Adegun, and she recruited Akwoma Omega and Ngozi Onwumeri. And those are her break women, and they are Team Nigeria. And so, like this said, that they've managed to balance their schedules and trained by any means necessary, and that means they practice with a bobsled built out of wood. And interestingly, they're based in Houston, Texas, which is I'm like Texas doesn't get much snow either, but they might. Yeah. But you know,
just as hot as Nigeria, maybe.
Yeah, maybe that was the point. I don't know, but so they had a conversation with OK Africa. And so if you want to read that interview there, there's also some video about the bobsled team. And good Lord, they look gorgeous.
And there's a link to their GoFundMe. So if yes. you want to donate so they can get to Korea for the Winter Olympics, please do so. Yes.
Yeah, because they're gonna need some support. But I really hope they make it. I really do, because this is exciting. I didn't really think a lot about this, that, you know, there were like African nations that weren't represented in like Winter Olympic sports, because like, yes, yeah, snow only falls on the mountains. I'm like, yeah, but yeah, this is, because I mean, if you have, okay, of course, the first thing I thought of was cool runnings, but
right.
That was Jamaica though.
Yeah. But,
still, this is, like I said, this is Nigeria, and they are going to make a bobsled team, and
I want to see it.
Yeah, me too, because I mean, look, I'm sorry, but black girls just be killing everything we get into.
We do, and yeah. Pair us with some Olympics?
Yes. I mean, y'all saw how we showed out this past summer.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm like, this is going to be exciting. So yeah, definitely, if you can, show them some support, spread the word, if you know, help find them a rich sponsor, somebody that's going to get them. John.
Boy, yeah. What's up?
John, if you want to, you know, do a film and make proceeds to them, and I will go support this film of yours. I mean, I was going to do it anyway, but you know.
Right. If you want to, you know, take some pictures with your shirt off or whatever,
you know,
to raise money, you know, do what you got to do.
Just a little, you know, we don't mind, John.
No. So, you ain't shit this early in the show.
Yeah. But okay, but to the Nigeria women's bobsled team, we want to give a big squee! Go forth, ladies.
Yes. And next up, it's about to be awards season, so a lot of nominations have come out recently. First up were the Grammy nominations for 2017. And Black women were the leaders in many categories. Beyonce racked up 9 nominations this year, including 1 for Best Rock Performance, which is interesting. Her song Daddy Lessons was submitted for Best Country Song, but was rejected for some reason.
Yeah.
Which is weird, but it would have been fun for her to be in that category as well.
I'd have just cackled.
Yeah. But, you know, people are mad enough that she's in for Best Rock Performance. So, you know, that's good. So Beyonce still making white people mad. 2K16 and beyond. I'm here for that. She also made history as being the woman who has had the most Grammy nominations ever. So she's doing it big. Rihanna is right behind her with 8 nominations. Unfortunately, she wasn't included in Album of the Year nominations. That unfortunately went to Drake. I don't know why.
I didn't know Drake had an album out.
He did. It's the one he's been getting heat for because he's been appropriating West Indian culture.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's views, and it took anti-spot in Alma of the Year for some reason. So boo on him for that. Solange, I guess she didn't... I guess her album didn't come out in time for Grammy nominations, she was nominated for Cranes in the Sky as Best R&B Performance.
Yeah, I was wondering why that was her only nod.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would have thought she had some more.
Yeah, I mean, I would have. It's one of my albums of the year.
Yeah.
A Seat at the Table. So, I think it should have at least gone for Best R&B Album of the Year. But I don't know, it came out like the end of September. It came out like the same weekend Luke Cage came out. So I don't know what the cutoff for Grammy nominations is. I thought it may be October, but
seemed like it should have been there on time. I don't know.
Yeah.
They keep moving goalposts for us.
They do. And then, you know, sometimes people mess up the paperwork.
Yeah.
Our girl, Brittany Howard, is nominated with her band, the Alabama Shakes, for their rendition of Joe from Live from Austin City Limits.
Yay.
King is nominated for Best Urban Contemporary Album.
Yay!
Yes. I hope they win, but they're up against some stiff competition.
Yeah.
Pastor Shirley Caesar is up for Best Gospel Album, and a couple of other gospel nominations. Rhiannon Giddens is up for Best American Roots Performance. So we out here, we in all the categories.
Yep.
So check out the Grammys and see if Beyonce can snag album of the year, which she should have won a couple years ago, but Beck and his 57 musical instruments beat him out. Anyway, beat her out.
Sorry, I still just didn't know Beck had released an album that year. And I like Beck.
No, girl, nobody did.
Okay,
I'm just...
See, that's why, honestly, I mean, this is kind of why I just don't hold out hope that she'll win. Because they don't like her. The industry does not like her. They hate that she succeeds on her terms.
They don't want... I don't think they like Black people in Album of the Year category.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Because Taylor Swift beat out Kendrick?
Ugh.
I'm sorry, but no. Anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Plus, she's been making white people mad all year.
Yes. So. And it's one of the reasons I appreciate her so much.
Yeah. So it's like I hope she wins. I mean, we all know that she deserves it, even if she doesn't. But still, it would be nice for them to say, okay, we acknowledge your art. Mm-hmm. It would be nice. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying not to hold out hope because, I mean, like I said, I'm not really like a huge fan, but I just hate to see her just get so intentionally slighted.
Yeah, but it seems like every time they do that, she comes back with even better material, which is so... If they do mess up and give it to somebody whack, then the next project is gonna be ridiculous. So it's kind of like how everybody be waiting for Mary J. Blige to fall on hard times because they know the album gonna be fire.
Oh my God!
Anyway. God. Which is a whole nother fucked up topic.
I know, right?
So, but yeah. If the Grammys fuck up again, the next project's going to be flames. So, look out for that. To all of the Grammy-nominated Black girls, we want to give a big scream!
Yay! And, well, like Dee Dee said, it is award season. And so, in addition to the Grammys, we also have the Golden Globe nominees. And Black women are showing all the way out.
Yeah, you know how we do.
Yes. So, yeah. So, for actress in a motion picture and a drama, Ruth Negga got the nod for Loving. We have three Black women and supporting actress in a motion picture.
And it could have been more.
Yeah, could have been. We have Viola Davis for Fences.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi Harris for Moonlight. Hopefully I'll get to see that very soon.
Ooh.
And Octavia Spencer for Hidden Figures.
And I don't know why they didn't just nominate Taraji and Janelle and just round out the whole entire category of Black women and make my life.
I know, because if that had all come together as all Black women in that category, I wouldn't care who went. It's like now I'm sitting here looking, which of y'all do I want to win most? Because I'm like, I love all three of these women because yes. they are badassingtons. I love them. Yeah. All right. Also, we have actress in a limited series or TV movie, Kerry Washington for Confirmation. Actress in a TV musical or comedy. Hey, so we have Issa Rae for Insecure, Gina Rodriguez for Jane the Virgin, and Tracee Ellis Ross for Blackish. And another one we have for supporting actress in a TV series, Tandy Newton for Westworld.
Hey.
So, yeah.
We everywhere. We in all the categories.
Yes.
And I'm counting Gina Rodriguez because her father is Afro-Latinx,
Yeah, I was
so.
about to say, I think she is Afro-Latina,
So boom.
Yeah, don't, I mean, but don't she like say that to people? Doesn't she tell this to people?
I mean, she did a whole article on how her her father's heritage is Afro-Latino, so.
Yeah, I'm like she claims it and she knows this is part of, she knows this is part of her heritage. I mean, yeah, she
And
rise.
she be twerking on people like a sister, so.
Gina's
She
one of ours.
count. She
Yeah,
count.
I like Gina. And Jane the Virgin is an excellent show too. It really is. It took me two
Doing my
seasons to
man
get into it.
Raphael wrong, though.
Yeah.
Fine as fuck, though.
I know.
Oh, my
But hey.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd be like, Michael, who? Anyway.
I know. I'm like, why?
Yes.
See this man? Why would you? Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Okay. But to all of the Golden Globe nominees, we give you a big
More awards.
squee!
The Screen Actors Guild Awards nominations came out like right on the heels of the Golden Globes. And once again, we're showing out there outstanding performance by a female actor in a supporting role. Viola Davis in Fences, Naomi Harris in Moonlight, Octavia Spencer in Hidden Figures. Once
Yay.
again, I don't know why they couldn't have just rounded out the category with the cast of Hidden Figures, but that's just me. Outstanding performance in a cast by a cast in a motion picture, Fences, Hidden Figures, Moonlight. And Janelle gonna win something either way. Because she's in Hidden Figures and Moonlight, so she Janelle is picking the right projects come award time. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a television movie or miniseries, Audra McDonald for Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill, and just give it to her now.
Yeah, please.
Kerry Washington for HBO's Confirmation. And Tandy Newton for HBO's Westworld is nominated for Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in a Drama Series. And for Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in a Comedy Series, we have Uzo Aduba for Orange is the New Black. SAG Awards love giving Uzo Aduba trophies, and I'm not mad at him. I do wonder why Tracee Ellis Ross wasn't nominated in this category, but I don't know. So,
I don't know.
So to all of the wonderful black ladies nominated for Screen Actors Guild Awards, we give a big squeeze.
Okay, so we got some very exciting news for all of our Trekkies and all of our geeks. As you may have heard, the new Star Trek series, Star Trek Discovery, will now have a black woman in the lead. You may know Sonequa Martin-Green as Sasha from The Walking Dead. She has been chosen as the lead character for this new series, and this is the same one that Michelle Yeoh is playing a captain.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, wow.
This is gonna kick so much ass. Okay.
Yeah, like I said,
And even
after.
if it's bad, I don't care. I just want to see
I know.
it.
I know. It says that Sonequa isn't leaving the show, that she's still playing Sasha, but this time marks the first time that a black woman will lead the cast of a Star Trek ensemble series. And as I think the showrunner is Brian Fuller, and he said this will be the most diverse and would also include the franchise's first openly gay character. Oh, can it be her?
I don't know. I think
I'm like, can we have like a I wouldn't mind.
I mean,
you can be black and gay at the same time. You can be black, gay, and female at the same time.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't mind. Okay. All right. Anyway, it says that the brand new series will introduce new characters while exploring the dramatic contemporary themes that have been a signature of the franchise since its inception in 1966. And this show is coming to CBS All Access in May of next year. And
that's the online only. I think it's like an online subscription.
Yeah.
You purchase to watch CBS All Access. So I don't see why she can't still work on this and do Walking Dead. I mean, they're on hiatus right now until February. So she has plenty of time to film.
But I'm not gonna lie, like a lot of other people, the first thing I thought was that she was gonna die.
That was the first.
Yeah, The Walking Dead likes to kill black people.
And if you're not white,
they like to kill likes you. Likes to kill black and brown people.
Yeah. So don't get me started on what they did to my man Steven Yeun. But anyway, his personal life is flourishing. So screw you.
It's like everything started going right for him. This dude got married and about to have a baby all in the same time. So
I'm saying, so his personal life is flourishing. I wish his professional life the same kind of luck. But back to Sonequa. What's his name? Norman Reedus. Norman, I haven't taken a shower in 3 years. Reedus has another show about motorcycles on AMC, and they're never going to kill his character because for some reason his character is a fan favorite. So if he can have two shows, so can
Sonequa. So was Glenn.
I know. I feel you, but Steven and Glenn are not white.
True.
Anyways, but, get them checks in equal.
Yeah. And somebody write a different show for Steven.
Please.
Yeah. All right. So for Sonequa Martin Green, we give a big squeeze.
Ooh, I can't wait to see that show. And speaking of shows I can't wait to see, Megan Good takes on Pam Grier's iconic character in Foxy Brown reboot. Minority Report got canceled, which they should have given another chance because I really liked it. But she's going to be in a Foxy Brown television adaptation for Hulu. She's also going to star in the series and produce along with her husband Devon Franklin. Ooh. And the production company Franklin Entertainment. Along with this Hulu series, Megan Good has other projects slated for release next year, including a show for Lifetime called The Tenth Date. I guess that's a TV movie. And she was recently on Code Black after Minority Report got the axe. So I will be looking forward to this because, you know, Foxy Brown requires a good-looking black woman kicking ass. And that's something that we've already seen that Megan Good can do.
Can I just say, though, that Megan Good, the thing I just love most about her, she's, you know, this devoted Christian married to a pastor, but she totally shows up on, like, red carpet, like, here I am, here are my boobs, look, you,
yes,
you will deal.
Yes, the ass is fat.
You will deal. That's just what I love about her, because it's like, I'm like, if Britney could do that shit, then so can she.
She's like, if you got it, flaunt it. And she got it.
Yeah.
She has it. Anyway. So to Megan Good, we give a big squeeze.
right. And more squeeworthy news. Noisy from Vice.com recently had a show. I mean, not a show, a damn article called A Conversation on Self-Care for Artists with Shamir and Weave's Jasmine Burke. And I want to introduce a bit of it, but I wanted to also ask Didi, was there anything specific she took away from it before I say that? Because I know Weave's, because I featured them on the other show. They're this kind of, you know, punk pop duo. And, well, not Shamir, he's not in it, but Jasmine Burke is in Weave's. And recently they had a song called Shithole that I included on the show, because it's actually a really good song. And so, no, it really is. It really is. And so Shamir and Jasmine, you know, got together, you know, talked about different things. And so what the focus on here is about self-care and love.
I'm not as familiar with the artists mm-hmm. as you are, but I just like, I like the topic. Mm-hmm. So any excuse to talk about self-care, I was interested in doing that. And just, you know, the takeaways from the article that I got were that, you know, the different definitions that people have for self-care and, you know, how Jasmine Burke says at first that she used to think of self-care as just soaps and creams, mm-hmm. but now she feels like it's about, you know, trying to put yourself first mm-hmm. and taking care of your mind and body and feeding it properly. And
Yeah, that's the thing about self-care. I think it depends on what, like, you have access to and what your specific needs are at that moment. Like, maybe not everyone has, you know, access to, say, therapy or meds or things like that. And you have to make do with what you have and hopefully maybe eventually get this more specifically what you need to take care of yourself. But yeah, it can't. I think a lot of that is, you know, okay, make sure first you're taking care of yourself and you are putting yourself first. So I think she has a really good point there. But also at times, yes, sometimes it can be beyond, and it can be like treating yourself, you know, to something, to just remind yourself that you are human and you have a right to, you know, do more than just exist, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing they said in the article. And also how Shamir said, you know, mental health should be a priority, because then everything else falls along. So just they seem to be, you know, saying a lot of really good things about self-care. And also, you know, they are coming from the perspective of being Black people in mm-hmm. this really divisive time, and being in a genre of music that probably doesn't have as many Black people in it. So Burke mentioned that making music was a cathartic thing to do for her. So that's she considers that part of her self-care practice.
Yeah.
And she said, we're making pop music and we're not white people. There are not enough people in our sort of genres that kids can identify with. It gives people self-confidence. The past few shows, other girls with afros have come out and it's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think that that's the most heartwarming thing. Someone else that sees you and sees themselves in you. So I just thought this was a really nice article. You know, now I want to check out more of their music.
Yeah.
Just because I like what they have to say.
Yeah. You might like Weave's. You might like them, mm-hmm. you know, because I enjoy them. Cause they're sometimes, you know, a bit noisy, and sometimes that's just really good. And like
sometimes you need to scream.
Yeah,
I'm all for scream therapy.
Yeah, actually, they have a Tiny Desk performance from NPR. It's on YouTube if you want to check that out.
Okay.
So, you know, yeah, They performed Shithole on it.
Hey, they got away with that? Okay.
Yeah, they did. They put the warning of it that there was explicit language on it, but yeah, they got away with that.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, thanks for choosing that one. Okay.
So, Jasmine Burke from Weaves and Shamir, and this great conversation on self-care, we give a...
And I just remembered something we forgot.
What?
Michelle Obama hosted a screening of Hidden Figures at the White House yesterday. I watched a little bit of the press conference after. Well, I watched all of it, but it wasn't very long, but still. Our first lady, our black first lady, hosted a film that acknowledged the contributions of three black women in science, mathematics, that helped the first people land on the moon. And all three of these women, along with the writer of the book, another black woman doing the moderating, and there was another black woman there too. They were all there in support of this film, talking about it all before the first lady came out and gave her remarks and called Janelle Monáe her child. No. And I was on Twitter and I'm like, 100 years ago, Woodrow Wilson hosted a fucking Birth of a Nation at the White House. And now, 100 years later, we have our first lady hosting Hidden Figures. And I'm just like, wow. And do y'all know, I know, I'm like, do y'all know how much that made me just wish Michelle Obama could just stay there for the rest of our lives?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. How absolutely awesome.
I mean, y'all, I just don't know how we can go from her to anyone else, okay?
Much less anyway.
Yeah, because it just doesn't seem right.
Because it's not.
Yeah.
And the FBI will let you know, seeing as how Russia hacked her. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, so.
To Michelle Obama and the cast of Hidden Figures. Let's give them a big scream!
Taraji was so beautiful.
Oh, God. We don't have a main topic today, so let's just move on to Squeak Queens, I guess. I have a couple of Squeak Queens I wanted to nominate. First of all, I should probably just put her here every week because she keeps doing amazing things.
Yeah.
Viola Davis recently won an award at the Critics' Choice Awards, and she gave this wonderful speech. I'm going to try to play it now and hopefully y'all be able to hear it. So,
yay.
Here we go.
All right.
On a personal note, I had the privilege of working with Viola. In Doubt, she had one scene in the entire film, and in that scene, she was transcendent. She was nominated for an Oscar, one scene, playing opposite Meryl Streep. That's how good she was. That's how good she is. Nominated tonight not only for her work in How to Get Away with Murder, but also for her remarkable role in Fences. I am thrilled to present the See Her Award to Viola Davis.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's hard to accept being a role model for women when you're trying to lose weight. But it's true. I've always discovered the heart of my characters, I guess, by asking why. You know, when I was handed Annalise Keating, I said, she's sexy, she's mysterious, you know? I'm used to playing women who gotta gain 40 pounds and wear an apron. So I said, oh God, I gotta lose weight. I gotta learn how to walk like Kerry Washington in heels. You know, I gotta lose my belly. And then I asked myself, well, why do I have to do all of that? I truly believe that the privilege of a lifetime is being who you are. And I just recently embraced that at 51. I think my strongest power is that at 10 o'clock every Thursday night, I want you to come into my world. I'm not going to come into yours. You come into my world and you sit with me, my size, my hue, my age, and you sit and you experience. And I think that's the only power I have as an artist. So I thank you for this award. And I do see her, just like I see me. Thank you.
Wow.
She's everything. Every time you put a camera or a mic in front of this woman, she's going to give you a word, and it's a word you need to receive. So just yes. Bless her. She's a queen. She is my squeak queen forever.
Yes. Yeah, we're talking about naming the Oscar after her. We just need to name the show after her now.
Black girl Viola Squeen. I don't know.
Yes,
we'll work it out.
Amy Adams. I just want to correct you. She was in 3 Scenes in Doubt. She only spoke in 1.
Let her know.
Yeah, that was all she needed. But yeah, I do distinctly remember her being in 3 Scenes because that's about all I remember in that film. No. I ain't lying.
So, Viola.
Yes.
Just thank you for your words and for your mind and your gift. Want to nominate Nondumisu Pikash, founder of Sesifique Wines. She, because I like wine, and she is working to bring her own brand of wine to stores in South Africa. If you go to her website, you'll find out that the name of the wine means "We have arrived," and the wine is crafted by a team of winemakers, mainly women, in the Stellenbosch area of the Cape Winelands in South Africa. So I want to nominate her because, she's, venturing out into, territory that's unusual for most Black women. We wish her the best of success.
Especially after finding out about that whole thing with the women who got kicked off the wine train. That whole thing. Like, see, this is why we're getting our own shit now. They can go here instead.
Get on our own train, drink our own wine, be as loud as yep. we fucking want to.
Exactly. Exactly.
The greatest privilege is to be ourselves, right, Viola?
Yep.
So I want to. So Anandamisu Pikash, thank you for your efforts. And you are my second squeak queen.
No, I think we want to do Cash the Fade. No, wait, you have your fandom fuckery. And that's the thing is, there's always some fandom fuckery going on.
And there's always black men capering for white women, so this is just...
Yeah. The thing is, I will say about the latest stuff that's going on, I don't really actually know. I finally found out the name of the person that was kind of the source of it, but this person tagged a bunch of women of color as being toxic for the fandom. And come to find out, she was some heifer that embarrassed herself asking a silly ass question of a famous actor and made everybody uncomfortable, and apparently just still doesn't seem to realize that. So, causing a lot of drama, a lot of unnecessary drama in the fandom.
She's a middle-aged German woman who was likening a group of women of color to neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
She took it all the way there.
I'm like, really, bitch? Really?
And, you know, and you may say it's just words, and it's just words on the internet, you know, typed by some coward who doesn't really know the meaning of them. But, you know, words mean things, and they still affect people. Yeah. And when you have a group of women of color who are already dealing with enough bullshit in their lives, and you add this to it, on the one place that's supposed to be their outlet and place to kind of chill and have fun and relax, and you're calling them neo-Nazis for having an opinion about a celebrity that differs from yours? This is just...
Yeah.
It's if anybody's toxic, it's this bitch, and she can catch the fade.
Yeah, and that shit is always intentional. She's trying to get these, trying to get people attacked. She's trying to drive people away.
And this, and the same people that are calling people names will be the same people in a few months, you know, asking them to come back to the fandom. So they can abuse us some more. Fuck y'all. That's all y'all want. Y'all want us there so y'all can shit on us. And when we leave, y'all don't have nobody to shit on but yourselves. And I'm not a toilet. That's the latest fuckery. Fuck y'all's fandom. Fuck you. Fuck your mama. I don't care. Fuck your whole family line. You're not worth my time or energy. And but I'm tired of y'all attacking my friends. Y'all can save your little keyboard clicks and just worry about whatever y'all are worrying about. I mean, y'all act like y'all have some ownership over a celebrity. They don't even know you. And
thank you.
This one don't want to know this particular fan. Because she's already said stupid, embarrassing stuff.
Ugh. And apparently just don't have a clue, or has a clue, just don't want to know. or just want to acknowledge. I'm like, the fuck
is
wrong with
you? How can you be that old and be so clueless? Anyway, so that's the latest fandom fuckery. I mean, we could talk about Tilda Swinton, but yeah, she's not worth it.
Girl. No, let me just for a second. I didn't even read the whole exchange, but apparently Tilda Swinton, she either called or emailed Margaret Cho and tried to have her co-sign her playing this Asian character. Now, I'll admit, I sometimes side-eye Margaret Cho, but Margaret was not having this shit. And after all of this, Tilda actually tried to tell Margaret, keep this a secret, don't tell anybody. Margaret was like, oh, fuck no. She went and told everybody what went down here. And so this is how you know Tilda Swinton is full of shit on this whole thing. And she knows good and goddamn well she took a role that was meant for an Asian woman. She knows that she was not supposed
and
to play this role.
And was looking for an Asian person to give her the okay.
Yeah, so she could go hide behind this person. Okay, well, it's okay with her. And Margaret Cho is Korean. The fucking role she took was Tibetan, right? Korean and Tibetan people ain't the same.
They are.
And matter of fact, Margaret Cho is Korean American. Korean American ain't even the same thing as Korean.
They are to a privileged older white woman.
I mean, see, this is why we ain't giving white women like this benefit of the doubt. Like, oh, because who was that? I don't know who it was. It could have been any of them. Suddenly, they want to talk about female empowerment and shit like this, and then they will go shit on women of color and don't, you know, come, you know, to be by our side when we need shit. And Tilda Swinton, and everybody loved her so much because she's like genderqueer and, you know, she just kind of, you know, she has a different look that, you know, isn't this typical feminine, you know, look or whatever. And people loved her for that, but she really just showed all her colors right here. She knows that what type of privilege she has. And then instead of, you know, checking this privilege or, you know, saying, okay, maybe I'll try to do better, she tried to go cover her ass and use a woman of color to cover her ass. I'm glad it backfired.
I'm glad Margaret, you know, just published all the receipts.
Yep. Said, here they go
I'm
right
all for
here.
Exposing white women 2016 yep. and beyond.
Margaret put that ass on blast.
Glad, see, thumbs up for that. So,
yeah.
Tilda really tried it. She keeps putting her foot in her mouth about this. Just take the L and move on. And maybe
like,
you can
girl,
do something
you know.
Respect in the future. Yeah. But right now,
yeah,
no. So, should we talk about this other stuff? I think other people have talked about it a lot, but
yeah, they have. But you know, we can still vent about it if you want.
I mean, a lot of people in the past couple of weeks have vented about their frustrations about Trevor Noah and this radio personality who calls himself Charlemagne the God, who hosts the Breakfast Club radio show on in New York. About them both further legitimizing a neo-Nazi white conservative who is basically a younger Ann Coulter, who spreads a lot of ill-informed, hate-filled rhetoric online to her 2 million viewers, which is scary. But Trevor Noah felt he needed to debate her on his television show, The Daily Show. Then when she received a critique online, he published an op-ed in the New York Times defending her, and then supposedly his team sent her cupcakes, and they went out for drinks, and were somebody took a picture of them having drinks together after the show. She was invited onto the Breakfast Club. She declined that offer, but still offered to hang out with Charlamagne, and there's pictures of him hugged up with her. So basically, you're normalizing and legitimizing somebody who has a bigger following than both of you, because I think The Daily Show only has or had prior to this stunt 1.3 million viewers, and she has 2.
Wow.
So you may not have given her a platform, but you further solidified it and legitimized it, just the way that CNN normalized and legitimized Cheeto Head Elect. I don't see how that doesn't help anybody, and it helps her, and it helps this faction of neo-Nazis that feel like they have a mandate because of Cheeto Head Elect, but it doesn't help the cause of justice. It doesn't help people of color. Because, you know, before this whole controversy, I didn't know this bitch's name. I didn't know anything about her. And I wish I could go back to that idyllic time. Because the stuff that I've seen, you know, people are actually retweeting her now onto my timeline, which I do not appreciate. But she has some dumb things to say about the Dakota Access Pipeline. It's all ill-informed and based on fear and hate. And it's like that doesn't need a bigger platform. It's already about to ascend to the White House. It doesn't need a bigger platform. It doesn't need your platform. And especially while you continue to erase women of color and deny the platforms that they have been building for years with no help from y'all's dusty asses. And
thank you,
Lord. Let me calm down.
And then be the first ones coming to us when something happened to one of y'all. Be the first ones coming to us to, you know, help y'all and do the work.
Why aren't y'all marching for this one? Why didn't y'all come march for Rekia Boyd?
Exactly.
Where were y'all? Where are y'all? Anytime a trans woman of color is attacked or murdered, where are y'all?
Exactly.
Anyway, I'm sick of y'all. If y'all want Becky's approval so much, she can have you.
Trust me, we do not want you.
I'm
we will be glad to see you go.
Just go. I don't want to hear no more about it. I don't want to hear about how she's building a platform so much better than we are and how we need to be more like her. No.
Hell, of course she built a platform. Y'all lifting her up on your shoulders. Of course.
It's easy to be mean.
Y'all are putting her on that
platform. It's easy for her to build that platform. She's young, white, blonde, cute, and mediocre. I mean, she's set for success in this fucked up culture. For us to have built the platforms that we have as Black women and as activists, we've had to once again work twice as hard to get half as far. And you're going to shit on us because we're not doing it like Becky. From the bottom of my heart, fuck you. And I could go on and on, but I think I'm just going to keep it there. Trevor Noah, Charlemagne, anybody else that capes for dusty ass neo-Nazis, y'all can all catch the fade.
Yes. But I did want to shout out Clarkeisha Kent. She wrote a really good explanation as to why Trevor Noah's part in this is really problematic as a Black immigrant. And she comes to it with a Black immigrant perspective. So that's on her site, mm-hmm. Sublime Zoo. You want to
friend of the show, Clarkeisha Kent. Check it out. She's always on point.
Yes. Yes.
Ooh. Okay. I'm still mad. let's see if I can get into a better mood. What should we do now?
This week in that print.
Okay. I don't know about you, but I wanted to shout out a couple of people that have yet to be nominated here. I don't think we may have nominated one of them, but not the other. But anyways, and just to remind y'all. Past entrants in This Week in That Print have gone on to win Emmys. Have gone on to be critically acclaimed award-nominated movies like Moonlight.
And looks
hey Trevante.
And looks primed to win an Oscar.
Trevante. Hey, how you doing? How your mama doing?
And hey Marshalla, who looks like you gonna win everything.
God, you should. Anyway,
so many nods.
So well deserved. Yes. 20 years of work finally coming, getting a reward for it. Also, he's fine as fuck. And shout out to his lovely wife and their upcoming baby.
Aww. Dang, everything is coming up for him right now.
He's
huh?
having the best year.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, once you've been in DWIDB, the sky's the limit. The world is your oyster.
Yes.
So with that, I would like to nominate Mr. Riz Ahmed, who is a 34-year-old British actor and rapper of Pakistani descent. His rapper name is Riz MC. He was born in Wembley, London, England, and you may have seen him in HBO's The Night Of, which he was nominated for a Golden Globe, and in the new movie, Rogue One, which is part of the new Star Wars anthology. So, big things for Riz. He is, his rap is, pretty political. In fact, one of his songs was banned from from British radio for its political lyrics. He also wrote an op-ed for The Guardian called "You Don't Need to Tell Me We Live in Scary Times. I'm Muslim." So Riz keeps it real.
I like you already. I know, right? Mm-hmm. I like you, Riz.
See, that's why I had to nominate him. He's also, been, very vocal about his anti-Cheeto head opinions, and I respect him for that. He was, there's been GIF sets on Tumblr where you see him arguing with this white radio host about these, just poking a hole in all of these BS statements that, that conservatives and Republicans want to say about Cheeto Head and everything. So, Riz Ahmed, I nominate you for This Week in That Print. And good luck at the Golden Globes. And I'm not sure. Well,
No, he hasn't been. I just mentioned him last time because he was adjacent to someone. So no, he wasn't right. DWIDP.
So Dev Patel, another British actor. We do like tall British actors here on the on This Week in That Print.
Yeah,
of any color.
Mm-hmm.
Dev Patel is a 26-year-old British actor of Indian descent. His parents are actually from Kenya, where there was a big Indian population. He was born in Harrow, London, England, and you may know him for his stint on BBC's Skins, and for the movie Slumdog Millionaire, and recently the movie Lion, which he's gotten critical acclaim for his performance in that. And if you saw the recent Actors on Actors interview he did with Octavia Spencer, I think you will just fall in love with him and realize why I had to nominate him for DWIDP, because he was just lovely in that interview with Octavia, and it was just, it's really nice. So
they just look so cute together.
Yeah, basically, yeah. That beard is working for you, Dev. Dev, don't ever shave it.
Yes.
Ever. Also.
Yep.
Also, when he said he looks for a certain soulfulness when he watches actors on screen and he saw that in Octavia, I swooned.
Yeah. I definitely agree with my timeline now. Just put them in a rom-com.
I want it.
Give us the rom-com.
They need to be in a movie together. So yes, our two brown British actors for DWIDP, Riz Ahmed and Dev Patel. Anything you want to say?
I think you covered it. So, yeah. Because Dev Patel, I actually didn't even recognize anymore. Because I remember vaguely Slumdog Millionaire. I did not realize that was him.
That was his big break.
Oh, yeah. See, things. Yes. He's a grown-ass man now. So.
yes, he is. Anyway, I don't want to say anything that will be offensive, but he fine.
Yes. So is Riz. I'm going to have to go back and watch The Night Of now.
Yeah, with those sexy accents. Anyway, anyway, bless. Something in the water in Britain. Certain areas.
Yes. No.
So that's all I have for DWIDF.
Nice choices.
Thank you.
Nice. Nice. All right. So, womanist vocab. And today's womanist vocab word is performativity. Performativity is a concept within speech act theory that focuses on the performative nature of identities. The theory is mostly associated with Judith Butler, who calls upon a number of theories to, quote, explore the ways that social reality is not a given, but is continually created as an illusion through language, gesture, and all manner of symbolic social sign, end quote. This means that certain words and phrases actually do something to actively change the nature of a material reality rather than simply represent something. In other words, a, quote, speech act can produce that which it names, end quote. Butler's theory of performativity extends this to say that linguistic constructions create a reality in general through our everyday speech acts. Performativity.
Ooh. So what's an example? Is blackness performative? Or
I would say anything related to identity is performative.
Okay. Oh, why so?
I mean, like race, gender, because, well, as we all say, they're social constructs. They have real life consequences, but they're social constructs. So it isn't like real in the sense of that it's innate. It has to be learned. It has to be formed in these ways, in some ways. And so, yeah, I would definitely say in that respect, blackness is kind of performative, because we look at other people, like especially when we look at, well, let's say, I'll just say cultural mm-hmm. appropriators, we look at them and say that they're performing this aspect of a culture that does
Ooh,
not belong
okay.
to them.
Gotcha. Okay. So you could say masculinity is definitely performative.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you. That helps. Help me get a handle on the word. So thank you again.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I love womanist vocab. You be learning me, girl. You be learning me.
Aww.
So my black girl commandment is to stop putting everyone else's needs above your own. Thank you. So, remember that. Because I've been listening to a podcast that Enda recommended, the Black Joy mixtape, where they continuously remind us that the second leading killer of black women is black men.
Yeah.
And it's sad but true, because a lot of black women put everybody else's needs above their own and end up dying for it, which is,
yep.
All kinds of fucked up. So let's stop.
It isn't always a quick death. Sometimes we kill ourselves slowly trying to do for other people when we should be doing
Say
for
that
ourselves.
One more time.
So it is Say not it selfish. It's not always a quick death, because we sometimes kill ourselves slowly trying to put other people's needs before our own. It is not selfish to take care of yourself first.
Woo! Okay, Enda. Come through with the word. Thank you. Oh, shit. Okay.
Okay, so is that going to be mm-hmm. it for the day? Okay, so that is our show. Remember, you can reach us on Twitter at Black Girl Squeak. You can reach us individually at Ender's Corner and at Dust Daughter. Remember, we also have a Tumblr, blackgirlsqueak.tumblr.com. If you want to email us, you can reach us at blackgirlsqueak@gmail.com. Remember to go to subscribe on iTunes, leave us some feedback. You know, we really appreciate that. Or go to our podcast home, Simplecast, at blackgirlsqueak.simplecast.fm. So until next time, bye.
Bye. Hey. Hey. You got it? You got the word? Hey. Hey. Hit him, Linda.
We ain't never gonna be shit. That's why we even have listeners.
Oh god. Oh man. Oh god. Okay. Oh shit.